Open your Bibles up, because you're going to need them. Matthew chapter 17. That would be the first book of the New Testament. I'll help you out a little bit. In the 14th verse, Matthew chapter 17. The 14th verse. Just a little story about a little faith. And when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. "Lord, have mercy on my son," he said. "He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him." "Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied. "How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, "Well, why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "Because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Let us pray. Father, open our hearts and our minds. Prepare us to receive this message. Let us know your inner workings a little bit closer. Let us walk just a little bit tighter within the folds of your love. Let us set aside our labors and our thoughts of what must go on when we leave here and dwell with you now, that this message may fill us up to pouring out and strengthen us for the week to come. In Jesus' precious name, and all of his children said, Amen. He passed away in 1970 at age 57, born in 1913, on a completely unbelievable, interesting background. A man on his way to becoming a Catholic priest had a different path in his own mind, but never deviated from his church values, from his desire of knowing the Lord. Passed away in September of 1970. And he was famous and hard-headed and a bad temper and often short with people. But he made sure that he kept close to God, that he kept his ties where they belong, even though within his own personal life he suffered great personal tragedy. Him and his wife had endeavored to have a child, and when their first child miscarried, she took it as her fault and drank heavily all of their marriage together. It was a great source of problem. He was known in being loud when he got angry and had to constantly pray for the forgiveness of it and the strengthening of it. So much so, that in the performance of his job, he kept a priest in an office next to him so that if he felt himself becoming out of control, he could stop and go have prayer with his priest. He started each meeting of his new season in a very simplistic fashion. He said it was time to get back to basics. And so he would walk up in front of all of his football players, whether they had played the game for 20 years or 20 minutes. He would stand in a room full of all of them, and he would look right at them with a football in his hand and go, "This is a football. We're going to start at the basics." Of course, I'm speaking of Vince Lombardi. He started every season of his entire coaching career by holding up a football in front of men who have played football all of their lives probably and said, "This is a football." Very simple, very back to basics. Have a little faith. how simple things are and how complicated we can tend to make things. I was just, and I know I'm not supposed to do this, and you can fuss at me later, but it was as if it was a pointer to this. I'm back here reading the messenger before church starts, and you all know what that does to me, because I am at odds with that bunch on a regular basis. And where I usually get the most wound up is when I read the letters that Christians write to this publication. And one of them was, we preachers in the brother in faith are making things far and away too simple. Really? We need to be more in depth. We need to explain things on a greater and more mature level. We need to not come down to the level that children understand. We need to engage deeper and we need to go further into things. And the whole thing was a simplistic saying that revelation of Jesus Christ pointed out heaven and hell. Heaven good, hell bad. That's too simple. We have to go into an explanation of why, what is, and what is, and how it is. And we have to get deeper into it. And we can't come at things in a simple manner. We can't just approach things in a simple fashion. We have to be deeper than that. How many people in this building have ever been to hear a theologically sound, very educated, smart preacher talk? How many of you stayed awake? I don't see a whole lot of hands flying back up. I take nothing away from a good education. A great education is a solid foundation. It teaches you how to take things forward. But if you're not getting the message out, then you're losing what it's all about. Jesus Christ didn't make it hard. What did he say? I have here, and I don't remember where I got this from. I think either Linda or somebody. I don't take this off the altar. As a matter of fact, I've left instructions never to remove this from the altar because it's a constant reminder. It's a little coin, and right in the center of it is a mustard seed. A little mustard seed right there in the center. You ever seen a mustard tree? They're huge. Right there, that little seed. See that little thing? That's what grows a tree. You can't even see it. You can come up. I'm not passing this out because it is mine. But you can come up after church. You can walk up here. There's nothing stopping you. And you can take a look at it. They glued it into the center of this little coin to remind you with faith, that small, you can move a mountain. When I was a boy growing up, Daddy was preaching and is still preaching at a church called Sam's Creek Church of the Brethren over here next to Westminster, Maryland. And two of the women in there had husbands who were serving in the Vietnam War. And they was worried, obviously. And they wore little necklaces with a little mustard seed in there to remind them of the faith that they need have that God would protect their husbands. And both the men came home. We overdo things. We over-engage the simple fact of faith. Look at what the disciples said to Jesus. Well, how come we couldn't do it? And he got mad. I can see him right now as a father looking at his children. How long do I have to put up with this? How long do I have to stay here teaching you this over and over and over again? Anybody in here ever heard of Rube Goldberg? Come on. Rube Goldberg, you've seen him. He's the guy that makes the inventions. Does 150 motions to do one thing. One of my favorite just was sent to me here not too long ago. I don't know the name of it, so I dubbed it the television turner oner. And it's the funniest thing to see. It pictures a feller sitting in a big plus easy chair. Now follow me. His television is 5 feet away. 5 feet. So in front of him, he's got a stick with a rock. You stomp the stick, the rock flies over the head, lands in a little tray behind him. The tray tilts over, pulls down on this string. The string starts up an airplane, or starts up a fan, which blows a little airplane over with a pin on the end of it. The pin pops a balloon. The balloon drops a razor down, which cuts the rope. The rope goes down, hits a weight, which brings a pendulum around and has a little pointy finger on it and turns the TV on. Now that's fascinating to me. That's so much easier than just getting up and walking over and going, boink. Of course, it was made as a joke. Rube Goldberg, who passed away also in 1970, was born in 1898. And he was famous for these wild inventions. I love the movie Chitty Chitty Bang Bang for all the obvious reasons, of course. If you've known me long enough to know, you know that when he's inside that building and the noise stops, anybody in my house that starts talking will find their mouth duct tape shut, because that's when the music swells up and suddenly the barn doors fly open and that trash of a car comes out of there all beautiful, and he's pushing it, and I'm a mess. It's so beautifully fixed it up. But in that movie, he has inventions to fry eggs. The egg comes out of the chicken, goes along a thing, gets picked up, cracks open, and does all this just to get in the skillet so he can fry an egg. We overdo things, and we over eagerly look at faith in a way we need not. Have a little faith. Have a little. Start with a little. And we're guilty of forgetting that. We're guilty of forgetting that with that faith that we got from following this particular person known as Jesus Christ, we have somebody looking out for us. A man fell off a cliff. He was leaning over too far and he fell and was on his way to his doom when he managed to reach out and grab a hold of a limb on the way down, and the following conversation began to happen as he clung for dear life to that limb. He said, "Is anyone up there?"
I am here. I am the Lord. Do you believe in me?"
"Yes, Lord, I believe. I really believe. I believe. I can't hang on much longer."
"That's all right. If you really believe, you have nothing to worry about. I will save you. Just let go of the branch."
"Is there anyone else up there?" We tend to forget how simple faith is. We tend to get lost in this thing called how simple faith is. Swing your Bibles over to Luke chapter 9. And let's get a little reminder. I'm sorry, chapter 8. Let's get a little reminder of how simple a faith can be. Having a little bit of faith is a great thing. Luke chapter 8. Let's reread together the story of the bleeding woman. I love this story. It is a constant reminder of how simple faith is. It doesn't have to be long, flowery speeches with a breakdown of it. And we start in the 42nd verse, Luke chapter 8. If you own the Bible, put a little marker out there in the side that says, "Have a little faith." So you know where to go to remind you when you're starting to slip off that branch. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. A woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing in against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet in the presence of all the people. She told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." If that story don't lump your throat, then you're not human. I'm telling you straight up, if you don't read that story and get a little extra heartbeat, you need to see me after church. I'll check your pulse. You think about that scene for a minute. When that Bible says that the crowds were pressing in around him, we know that by now Jesus is well known. And it wasn't just 10 or 15 people. It was hundreds, perhaps thousands, trying to get near him. Luke is a master physician. So he wrote this account with a little bit of a different slant. The woman had exhausted all of her money trying to get healed, and she couldn't. All she had to do was go up and touch. Now, I'll tell you about how much of a touch is. I have no feeling in my fingertips anymore. Really, I don't. Years of fooling with tractors and working out in open temperatures and burning myself repeatedly with torches and who knows what else. I can't feel slight things anymore. I have to press in to know. It's a fact of nature. A lot of men have the same problem. A lot of people do. She simply had to get her finger out there to one little, teeny little touch of just a thread off the edge of his cloak, and she was healed. Because she knew, she had that much faith that this man, who he is, would heal me, and she was healed. Now here comes the fun part. What does Jesus say? Who touched me? In a crowd of hundreds, possibly thousands, got these disciples around him. Who touched me? And I love Peter. I've told you once, I've told you 100 times. My name is Paul, but I identify with that mouth. Peter said, you know, hey, you know, look, man, look around you. Everybody's pushing in against you. I've touched you 25 times. Jesus says, no. Power went out of me. Not people jostling and pushing against me. Someone with how much faith? Just that little bit. Touched me. She comes forward, trembling, shaking. I am sure she is scared to death and falls in front of him. This woman bleeding. Jesus in that moment probably reached down, probably put his hands on her. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Oh, brothers and sisters, if we could only keep it like that, if we could only keep ourselves that tight to faith, how strong we would be. Oh, if we could only just have a little faith and keep it that simple, how strong it would be. I love being a Christian. I love going around telling everybody, hey, I'm a Christian. Hey, you know, last Saturday night, sitting there at the auction, me and Alice was taking money in, and somebody, I didn't know who they were, showed up for the meal. I didn't know who they were. And they were sitting there talking and everything, and Alice goes, well, that's the preacher. And the person getting ready to give us money stopped and went, really? And I looked at Alice and said, here it comes. You're the preacher. I love that. But you know what I also find? That we as Christians overdo it. We let this get bigger and bigger and bigger until the simple things aren't simple anymore. Just having a little faith becomes so difficult. There was a tightrope walker back in the late 1800s, who did incredible aerial feats. He was incredible. He was so good, they just simply called him Tightrope. Go look him up. All over Paris, he would do tightrope acts from tremendously scary heights. And then, as in succeeding acts, he started doing things blindfolded. And then, if that wasn't good enough, he went across these tightropes, high up in the air, blindfolded, pushing a wheelbarrow. Now listen, I'm almost coordinated enough to push a wheelbarrow with both eyes open. But this is what he did. An American promoter wrote him a letter after seeing about this in the papers and said to him, Tightrope, I don't believe you can do it, but I'm willing to make you an offer for a very large amount of money, a substantial amount, and all of your transportation costs. I would like to challenge you to try your act over top of Niagara Falls. Tightrope wrote back, "Well, I ain't never been to America and never seen the falls, and I would love to. I will be on my way." And so a lot of promotion went on. The whole thing was set up. There was a rope from the Canadian side to the American side. Drums rolled, and here he comes across, walking over the treacherous part of the falls, blindfolded. The crowds are going wild, and when he steps down off the rope on the other side, he walks up to that promoter, and he pulls his blindfold off, and he says to him, "Hey, did you believe that I could do it?" The promoter says, "I just watched you. Of course I believed." He goes, "No, no, no. Do you have faith that I could do it? Do you have just a little faith that I could do it?" He goes, "Of course I have faith that you can do it." He goes, "Tell me that I have faith." He goes, "I have faith in you, Tightrope. I have faith that you did it." And Tightrope says, "Well, get in a wheelbarrow. Let's go back across." That's what God says. God says, "I'm going to take you to the very edge." The word "believe" in Greek means to live by. I am not immune to having my faith tested. I've done told you 100 times, I am not a smart person. Ask my wife. When we started setting up the auction, I didn't talk about it last week because it took a while for this to boil through. When we started setting up the auction, the last auction we had done for somebody who was known within our community, 3 churches, 4 churches worth, and we raised a pile of money. The auction prior to that, we had done pretty good, but not near what that one did. And so when it was time to do an auction again, I said, "Now listen, let's not get carried away here. We're going to get what we get." I expected $1,800. $3,135 later, that night as I drove home, I had to pray to God to forgive me for not having a little faith. He does what he does based on how we live. It's been told that faith and works are like walking. Are you ready? This is faith. This is works. This is faith. This is works. First you have faith, then you do the works. Got it? First you have faith, then you do the works. And you can't do one without the other, or you'll fall over. Have a little faith. Have a little faith. It doesn't take tremendous, copious amounts. It just simply means that you have to have a little faith. I had been so caught up in the work of an auction and just doing the work, and that I had a little bit of faith, I forgot that God takes care of what He needs to take care of. Just by that little seed. Jesus had faith when He did what He did. When He stepped onto that. You know He had faith. You know He had more than we could ever begin to imagine, because He knew what was coming. There was going to be a beating like which we have never known. He was going to die right there. Why? For you? All the Pharisees would have no hear of that. What are you worth? But Jesus Christ knew when He stepped there. He had the faith that comes from knowing. And so comes the question, what is faith? Faith, Augustine wrote these words several thousand years ago. I don't know, but he wrote these words. Faith is to believe what we do not see, and the reward of this faith is to see what we believe. I'm going to say it again. Listen, because I've got an example. Faith is to believe what we do not see, and the reward of this faith is to see what we believe. Now, I'm going to make faith as simple as anything you've ever seen. Are you ready to be stunned by what having a little faith is? Say, "Yes, sir."
Yes, sir.
Look at here. Let me show you what faith is.
You ever seen one of these before? Lights on, lights off. Put the plug in, the appliance works. Can you see electricity? Nope. How much faith does it take to walk in a dark room and flick that switch? Very little, right? What do you automatically assume? And you know what they automatically assume? They still, to this day, put on these switches on, off, on, off, on, off, on, off. But what do you automatically assume when you walk in the room? The lights are going to go on. You had faith enough to throw that switch, and then the lights come on, and you saw the electricity, but you don't think about it. You just know you're not going to stub your toe on something. Right? Or when you plug something in. Now, there is an easy way to find out if these things are working or not, but most of you are smart enough not to do that. I don't fall into that category, because I have shocked myself more times than I care to imagine, and still will continue to. Faith. Nikola Tesla, in 1888, electrified this country and everywhere with his alternating current. And now today, brothers and sisters, a simple sign of faith is off, on. Plug it in, it works. Having a little faith is just that simple. Augustine said, faith is to believe what we do not see. And the reward of faith is to see what we believe. Let me explain that line to you real quick. We didn't see this happen. Jesus Christ is currently not here. He is up in heaven waiting. We have faith that our salvation has given us that reward. And one day, whether we leave before He gets here, or if we're here when He does, we're going to see the faith that we believed. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious Father, teach us to have just a little faith. In those moments when everything seems like it's falling apart, a little bit of faith. What are the examples we heard here today? Faith that we won't get bit by a snake. Faith that the cancer is staying away. Faith that we will be able to go and come as we need to go. Faith, faith, faith. Father, teach us to continue to have just that little bit of faith in You and in everything we do. We don't need it to be complicated. Jesus Christ said, with faith as small as a grain of mustard seed, we can move them out. Father, heal our spirit in this area and teach us, because the week is coming, the rest of the day is coming, that will teach our faith to be strong. Sometimes it'll be little things, sometimes it'll be great things, hard things. But the reward is, through faith we will see what we believe. And that's quite simple. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe He was born, walked on this earth as a man, lived, taught, saved, died, rose again. And when the time is right, will come back and get us, Father. Teach us to have just a little bit of faith. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. As we sing this last hymn, if your faith needs strengthening, here's a great place to build it up. If you need that prayer, if you need me to pray with you, you say, come here. If you don't, then just pray. If you need that strengthening in here, we stand ready to work with you as we sing this last hymn, to pray with you, to be with you. Just have a little faith.